This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Craig Hoffman.
What does it mean if you see a sign that says no fouling?
LeBron James' house?
The Hoffman Show.
No, that is not.
No crossing.
No. It means your dog can't poop there.
Oh, wow.
They call it no fouling.
One of my neighbors does flagrant fouls all the time.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Of course, your home for Mystics basketball. Sticks get back to it on Thursday. They'll take on the Minnesota Lynx, who are busy tonight playing the Indiana Fever in the Commissioner's Cup final. There is news, though, and to talk about all of the things that we've just mentioned above and more, Ben Pickman from The Athletic joins us. Ben is actually on site for the Commissioner's Cup final tonight. So, Ben, first of all, thanks for some time on a busy day.
Yeah, no problem. Busy week, honestly, yeah. In the WNBA.
It really is. It really is. The expansion, which we'll get to, you and your colleague, our friend Sabrina Merchant, wrote a great piece on Caitlin Clark's value to the league, and that obviously plays into the expansion discussion. And I know you've been busy with all that. You've been busy writing and reporting that piece. You've been busy on the Commissioner's Cup. And then I guess at that point, sometime your phone goes off the same mine does, and our colleague at ESPN, Alexa Philippou, is reporting that, by the way, the Mystics apparently have been fielding calls on Aliyah Edwards. How surprised were you to see that news, and what more can you tell us about kind of where Aliyah is with the Mystics and her value around the league?
Yeah, not totally shocked in the regards that she is a second-year player who I think a lot of people came in with pretty high expectations for how she was going to perform this year. I mean, you think about it, both, you know, a standout rookie season and then carrying that momentum into Unrivaled, where, you know, she was primed to be one of the players who, you know, was going to take that experience and kind of make a leap in year two in the WNBA. And frankly, we just haven't seen that fit yet. You know, there's a lot to like about how the Mystics have performed this year. But if you look at Aliyah Edwards in her role, right, she hasn't started a game after starting 17 last year. Her minutes total down 7 this year. Her shooting percentage down. You know, overall scoring as a result down. Just across the board, she just has not been as productive. And so, you know, you think about it in the state that the WNBA right now, she's a cost control player in that she's under contract for a number of seasons. That's rare, all things considered. Still, obviously, like high potential, top, you know, a 6th pick in the draft last year. So it makes sense that teams around the league would be looking at saying, hey, like, we might need a 4, someone who we can develop. Like, is she on the market? And Washington obviously is doing just fine with, you know, Austin and Iria Fenn in the front court.
Right. And that's the thing. I feel so bad for Aliyah in a lot of ways. And, you know, I talked to her in the preseason. She's so excited. She's feeling, you know, her best. She's confident. Not that she was ever lacking in confidence, but like really confident she could do it at the NBA level. And then the WNBA level, she gets hurt. Kiki starts. Yep. Kiki's been a revelation. And you're just, if you're Sidney Johnson and the staff or even the front office trying to manage it from above, I don't really know what you do about the fact that your fourth overall pick this year is playing at an unbelievable level. And Shakir Austin, by the way, since being reinserted into the starting lineup, has been a borderline, like, I don't know, all WNBA caliber player. Feels like she has a double-double every night, and she's getting 18 to 25 points a game.
Right, exactly. And that's where, you know, the news of this report is not so surprising. Because again, for all the factors you said, like, she could be doing a lot more. And if you think about where Washington is big picture, yeah, they've gotten off to this really, you know, impressive start. I think, you know, surprising a lot of people just how they've looked and how hard they continue to compete. Well, like, this is a team though that is still building towards the future. And so the question then becomes, is Aliyah Edwards a part of the future? What role is she in the part of the future? And Washington, a team that already is loaded with future draft assets, like, could they add another? I would assume it's not out of the question here.
Right. One thing that is in the back of my mind, too, is Aliyah, Canadian from the Toronto area. Would they hold on to the end of the season and then try to see what they can get out of Toronto in terms of future draft capital or draft capital in this draft? But whoever gets Aliyah, they'll be lucky to have her. She's a wonderful, wonderful person and obviously a very talented player. Just it's the hardest league in the world in terms of concentration, and they got a lot of talent here. So with that said, Ben, this league is going to get bigger, starting with Toronto next year. Nice unintentional transition by the host there. Ben Pickman with us here on The Hoffman Show. Ben, women's basketball writer for The Athletic. So Toronto next year, we have Golden State, obviously, this year playing extraordinarily well and selling out Chase Center on a regular basis. And then you have the three new additions coming up in Detroit, Cleveland, and Philadelphia, Josh Harris's Philadelphia in 2030. What's like, why do you think that the W did this in terms of a timing standpoint, spreading the teams out like this? And what are the advantages and what are the complications of that?
Well, I should say also Portland also coming into the WNBA next year. So hardest league to enter becomes, you know, not only are you going from 12 to 18, not 17. So a lot is changing over the next, you know, 5 years or so. The timing question is a really interesting one. I mean, I was at the announcement on Monday in Midtown Manhattan at the WNBA NBA League offices when all this news became public. And Kathy Engelbert said in a scrum of reporters that, you know, of the three, Cleveland was the most ready right now. An example of that being, you know, they're entering in 2028 right away, right after the announcement was made public. They started to sell basically like seat deposits. They were the only one of those three teams, Detroit and Philadelphia being the other two new expansion markets, to do so. The timing is most interesting as it relates to Philadelphia, I think, big picture. And this is obviously an interest in your market because the Sixers, as we know, that ownership group has just announced plans earlier this winter to build a new stadium that they want to own. And that stadium is set to open in, I believe, 2031 is their kind of hopeful timeline. And so basically, by announcing the WNBA franchise when they did, they give themselves this long runway and that they are kind of hoping that the stadium might actually be ready for the 2030 WNBA season. You know, Josh Harris wouldn't say that, like, that is definitely going to happen, but he kind of is saying we're going to try and put some pressure on ourselves to finish it so that the new WNBA team could play in that timeline, and then we'll see what happens with the practice facility too. But by announcing it when they did, it gives them a little bit of runway to sort it all out with this new arena, which seemingly is so important for these WNBA teams. The other thing I will say is, you know, the $250 million expansion fee, significant. It's a record. That is what these three teams paid to get into the league. And the WNBA really operated in this process like, we want to figure out first, and this is what Kathy Engelbert said, we want to figure out how many teams we want to add and kind of the number we want to get to. And they decided on 18 that we're going to add three more. And then they kind of worked and said, okay, it's going to be Cleveland, it's going to be Detroit, and it's going to be Philly.
Houston, by the way, lingering as well as a team that wants in, obviously the great history there with the Houston Comets. And as you wrote on The Athletic, that could come either future expansion sometime in the 2030s or the Connecticut Sun are up for sale and could wind up being relocated. So something to keep an eye on for sure there. The expansion comes at a time where the W is more flush with cash than it has ever been. Obviously, Caitlin Clark plays an enormous role in that. And you and Sabrina wrote a piece on The Athletic that tried to answer just how much she is worth to the league. What'd you find?
Yep. Close to $1 billion is what one person told us. And to women's sports more generally, well over $1 billion is what another economist we talked to, that her overall value to women's sports definitely starts with a B. And you just have to think about this idea that it's not just what Caitlin Clark is bringing to the Indiana Fever. And we saw in the kind of recent valuations that Forbes and Sportico did, significant valuation increases, you know, within the Indiana Fever specifically, but like other teams around the league, right? Think about just all the attendance records that, you know, break when the Indiana Fever come to town. We had, you know, one industry source say that she's making opposing owners seven figures when she shows up, right? And then you think about just what she means to all the people out there who suddenly are more interested in women's sports holistically, right? Women's soccer, women's hockey, Olympic sports, like just the business of women's sports is changing. And if you look at figures who are at the center of conversation, at the center of the women's sports economy, Caitlin Clark is that. Like, she is just driving interest overall just by her mere presence.
Obviously, she is, you talk about the cost-controlled asset element with Aaliyah. She is on a very similar contract. She was in the same draft, and we know the new CBA is coming. She's making roughly $78,000 this year from the WNBA. How loud do you expect her voice to be in, whether it is her voice directly or other players saying like, hey, look at her in these WNBA, PA, WNBA negotiations around this new CBA, and basically being like, look, we have people like Caitlin who are incredibly popular and are drivers of revenue in ways that you guys running the league have never been able to generate. So how do we try to make that right? Like, what do you expect? Like, what role does this kind of research, the expansion, the obviousness of being at games and seeing the seats filled do for these CBA negotiations?
I mean, I will say what I don't expect to happen, and I don't expect there to be like a Messi rule or a David Beckham rule, right? Where like you're suddenly saying that Caitlin Clark can be paid, I'm throwing out a completely hypothetical number, $100 million in a year, and she's the only player who can make that, and everyone else is, you know, going to make $1 million. But I do think, you know, the priority for players clearly is increasing salaries and increasing the max salaries. And players know that, like, the business is on this upward trajectory. It is clearly changing. They're adding three teams with the expansion fees that we said. So, like, where is the boom for player salaries coming from? Like, the WNBA likes to tell a version, players argue that the WNBA likes to tell a story of success, but then when they sit down at the negotiating table, it's like, where is the payoff for us? And so maybe that will be in the form of, you know, significant max salary increases, which I think is fair. The other question is, what about, you know, revenue sharing is another topic, right? How that's something we get into. That is another big thing. And like, hard salary cap is the third one, right? Like, the WNBA, it is very tough. I mean, you throw out Aaliyah Edwards trades at the beginning. It's really hard in many cases to make trades work in the middle of the WNBA season, because this is a hard cap league where money is really tight. So if there's a softening of a cap in a negotiation, that could be another way to both get money for players, increase movement, flexibility, certain things like that.
Ben Pickman from The Athletic with us for another minute or two here on the Hoffman Show. The other things they could go for, more jobs by expanded rosters. I think that would also make some of the trade machinations a little easier. The other thing that I would be curious about, Ben, and this kind of ties into the expansion piece, is control. Like, if I'm a player, right, you can just trade me. You can just cut me. You can do this. You can do that. Like, especially considering how many teams are coming into the league. Do you think that there will be a push to limit the expansion drafts or eliminate the expansion draft or some other element of player control where they can feel comfortable, like their colleagues in the NWSL, when they sign a contract for X years to play in City Y, that they will actually do that unless they agree to leave?
I think first off, it's starting with standardizing the expansion draft procedures, right? That was something when I was talking to starting to check in with executives and people around the league yesterday. Like, that is something the WNBA is going to have to put in place now that, you know, not only do you have two teams coming in next year, but you have three over the next, you know, 4 or 5 years. And so putting in a clear procedure so that players know, okay, these are the rules of play here. And also so that teams know these are the rules of play, because right now there is, you know, an opacity, a vagueness in like how many players are going to get protected. Maybe it's this one year, maybe it's that another year. Like, that is an open question with another expansion draft looming. So I think that is actually the first place where control will be sought after versus like just getting rid of an expansion draft all told. But again, these are like some of the big questions that we'll need to get sorted out here, because, you know, schedule length is going to probably be different. WNBA footprint will probably have to be different in this new era of expansion. That's another big change. You mentioned roster size as well. Like, now do you really, you know, will teams want to expand the roster size? You're adding 50 jobs, more than 50 jobs in with all these new expansion teams. Is that diluting the product more, right? If you go from 12 to 15 and you add five teams, like, that's a lot of new players who are coming into the WNBA, and maybe the product is lesser by 2030 as a result. So these are all some of the big questions the league is wrestling with. We just have a little bit more clarity now, knowing that there is a plan to go to 18 by 2030.
Ben Pickman writing about it all at The Athletic. Ben, always great to chat, sir. Thank you.
Likewise.
When we get back, the other Caitlin Clark story of the day. Her fellow players voted her ninth amongst guards in all-star voting. And a lot of people are unhappy about it. Why they should probably just settle down next. But first, the rest of the latest in the world of women's sports. It's presented to you by Wawa Chicken, how you want it. Wawa with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. We just talked to Ben Pickman, who wrote a great story in The Athletic with his colleague and our friend Sabrina Merchant, who's a good friend of the show as well, about the value of Caitlin Clark when it comes to the WNBA. And according to what they were able to find out and talking to economists and various people, Caitlin Clark is worth over $1 billion to the NBA. There is no doubt that Caitlin Clark is the most important person in the sport. And probably, actually not even probably, she is also the most important player in women's sports, period, across sports. She has helped the popularity of other leagues because she has put women's sports into the mainstream. She has made women's sports, for lack of a better word, cool, nevertheless acceptable to talk about. And that's awesome. It shouldn't have taken her, but it always takes someone. It took Larry and Magic in the NBA, and then to a greater extent Michael, to like really hit that cool factor of the Air Jordan brand. And you know, baseball has waxed and waned on its popularity over the years, peaking with, you know, guys, the Maguire Sosa home run race in 98, for instance. Like the NFL has been pretty sustainable over time, but Caitlin Clark, without question, is the most important female athlete on the planet, certainly in America, and even more certainly, if such a thing could exist, in the WNBA. The other main story about Caitlin Clark today is that her peers in the W voted her ninth in All-Star voting. And for some reason, I'll just let that hang out there. For some reason, some people think these stories are related. And I cannot stress this enough. Those people are wrong. Both things can be true. Caitlin Clark was properly rated, in my opinion, by her fellow colleagues in the league for pretty straightforward basketball reasons that we'll get to in a second. And she is the most important player in the sport in terms of its business side. But that's the thing. The business side and the basketball side don't have to mix perfectly. They don't. All-star voting is not how much you are worth to the league. It's how good of a season are you having so far. And I would like to read off some stats from Caitlin Clark and also some context on this voting. The players rank, they don't rank like 1 through 15. They pick four guards. And so a lot of players just left Clark off their ballot because they didn't think, and there is very, it's very easy to see why, she's not one of the top four guards this season in the WNBA. She was correctly a top five MVP candidate last season, but last season isn't this season. This season, Clark has only played 9 games. Most teams have played 16 or 17. And by the way, she is also out again tonight for the Commissioner's Cup final against Minnesota. But she was left off enough ballots that her top, like her cumulative score for those that she was on, was 9th. She is shooting 29% from 3 this year, 39% from the field, and is averaging nearly 6 turnovers a game in 9 games. On what planet is that better than what Sabrina Ionescu is doing? Than what Alisha Gray, who amongst players and media, was the number one guard? Alisha Gray is having an unbelievable season for the Atlanta Dream, who are having an unbelievable season as a team. They are far exceeding expectations. So if you want to put Caitlin Clark over Alisha Gray because you're a fan and you'd rather watch Caitlin Clark, like, I guess that's fine. Ultimately, the All-Star game is an exhibition and a marketing event, but players care about being named to this, and they are not doing it based off popularity. Players are not voting based off of who do the fans want to see. And if you want it to just be that, then take away the player and the media voting and just let the fan vote rule everything and stop using All-Star appearances when we talk about players' Hall of Fame cases across sports. But if we're going to have it be on some level of merit, the idea that Caitlin Clark wasn't voted near the top of the All-Star list for guards in the WNBA based off the first half of the 2025 season is not only correct, It's blatantly obvious. And let's take a couple of rookies to compare her stats to. Sonia Citron here with the Mystics. Sony this season has played in all 17 games. She's averaging 15.1 points per game. Clark is averaging 18.2. They're dead even on rebounds. Clark has a much higher assist total. They're more or less even in steals and blocks. 1.2 to 1.6, 0.3 to 0.7. However, Citron is shooting 47% from the field compared to Clark's 39%. 38% from three compared to Clark's 29.5. She's shooting better from the free throw line, and her effective field goal percentage is 54.9%, which is ridiculous for a guard. Caitlin's is 47.2, which is fine. Also, Citron's averaging 2.0 turnovers per game. Clark is averaging 5.9. So, when you look at those two, who is more deserving? If you like efficiency, I would say it's Citron. If you want to make the argument for, you know, Clark carries a much larger load, like, I have no problem on that. But what about, you know, and if you want to look at, for instance, there is a stat for that, if I can find it real quick, their usage rate. Clark's usage rate is 31.7%. Citron's is only 19.5%. So, okay, fine. But if you look at advanced numbers, if you want to go that route and look at things like win shares, Citron way higher than Clark. Like, Citron 2.1, that's a monster number. 0.4 on the season for Clark. Okay, well, what about the other most popular player in the league who's also a rookie, Paige Bueckers? First of all, Paige has also missed games this year. She's played more than Clark. Clark, 9 games. I feel like I should pause for a second. I'm a big Caitlin Clark fan. I love her game. I've talked about that before. But the arguments that are trying to be made on her behalf and the outrage, real or fake, on her behalf is embarrassing. Bueckers averaging more points per game, within 0.7 rebounds per game. Clark, again, the assist numbers, that's one of her superpowers, but Paige, a respectable 5.8, which is top 5, I believe, in the league. Clark, 8.9, would lead the league if she qualified, but she hasn't played enough games. Bueckers, more steals, more blocks, higher field goal percentage significantly, higher three-point percentage by a decent enough margin, higher free throw percentage by 6%, and an effective field goal percentage that is 2.5 percentage points higher. When you look at their turnover numbers, again, Clark averaging 5.9 per game, Bueckers 2.2 per game, and if you look at their usage rates, they're a little closer. Clark 31.7%, and Bueckers is 23%. So she's has the ball in her hands a lot more. But again, if you look at the win shares type of numbers, I mean, Clark offensively, for as great as she is, or as prolific as she is as a three-point shooter and the deep threes and the assists, Clark has a negative win share on the year offensively. Negative. So if you take all the advanced stats and you kind of balance it out based off of her true shooting percentage, which is fairly low considering how many threes she takes, and the turnovers, she's actually not helping the Fever win on offense based off of the numbers. So while Clark is no doubt a great player, this is not actually a reflection to me of who she is as a player. And I think that's the other thing that people get twisted and more innocently than the, she should make the All-Star team because she's worth $1 billion. And it's like, no, that's not how All-Star teams work. But if you look at who she is as a player, do I still have, am I selling my Caitlin Clark stock? Absolutely not. She's awesome and is going to figure out the turnover thing, I would assume, over time. And will continue, well, like, her shot's going to start going in more. Like, I do not worry about Caitlin Clark as a player and her ability to be a future MVP and a future champion in this league. But it's okay to say all that and also go, she doesn't deserve to be an All-Star based off the first half of her 2025 season, because her teammate, Kelsey Mitchell, is having a better season. Paige Bueckers is having a better season. Sonia Citron is having a better season. Not to mention, I think some of the top true guards in the NBA who really deserve to be All-Stars based off what they've done in the first half of 2025. And there we get two players like Alisha Gray. Kelsey Plum's been really, really good for LA. On down the list, Sabrina Ionescu, who was second, I believe, in the voting amongst players, has been great. Skylar Diggins is having a hell of a season for Seattle. So on down the list, if you can name four, I can tell you flat out, Caitlin Clark would not be in my top four. She would not have been on my ballot if I was a voter. If I'm buying future stocks, she's my number one. If I'm talking about who I would want to have some kind of stock in their jersey sales, number one. 2025 All-Star ballot, not in the top four. And so I hope that people will take a deep breath and stop freaking out about her being ranked ninth. But let's just say my faith in that is not very high. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We can take your calls on that next, 301-230-0980, plus the latest in NBA free agency as we wrap up here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hoffman Show, brought to you by Amazon. I've got some good news, and I've got some great news. The good news is that Prime Day is almost here. The great news, this year, you'll have 4 days to find deals on all of your favorite things. Shop Prime Day, July 8th through the 11th. Of course, we're here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Following up on the last segment, and again, if you want to get a call in, 301-230-0980. But Ben, I'll bring you in here. How much W do you watch? Like, are you a WNBA fan? It's okay if you're not. I know you're a big baseball guy, so that might be where your viewing goes in the summer. This is not meant to be a moral judgment. I'm just asking a question as a sports viewer.
Yeah, admittedly, I don't watch a lot. The most I hear WNBA is when I'm in here producing the Mystics game. So that'll be the bulk of the WNBA that I take in. I see the highlights and stuff, and I think all that stuff has been great. I think we've seen a lot of value increase in the league over the past couple of years, and it's great that we have a lot more interest in it, not just from people like you on the radio, but also sports talk shows. If you turn on ESPN, you'll see segments about the WNBA. So it's a lot easier to keep up with it, but admittedly, I'm not watching it as much as I could.
Yeah, and the segments that are on some of the sports talk shows might be some of the dumbest television that
probably
exists, which is a real that's a race to the bottom amongst morning sports talk television. But I ask that just for background, for context. But I also have a more general question, which is kind of like, what's the point of an all-star game? Right. And that's where I think that there is a real discussion to be had about, say, a Caitlin Clark in this year's WNBA All-Star game. Like, for the league as an exhibition, it is, I don't want to say essential. Like, the league won't fold if she's not there. But, like, it is way better for the league from a business standpoint. They will make a lot more money. They will get a lot more eyes. And frankly, it is better for all the other players as well, because they get more eyes on them because of the eyes Clark brings in if she is playing in the All-Star game. And especially because the game is in Indianapolis. It is a home game for Clark. There is a lot of hope that she is going to do the three-point contest, which will be very fun. She, they asked her to do a shootout type at the NBA All-Star game this past year, similar to what Sabrina Ionescu did with Stephen Curry a couple years ago. And she declined, and part of the reason that kind of trickled out, I don't know if she ever officially said this, was kind of like, I want to do my first one at W All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis because it was going to be this summer. And I think that for that reason, like media who ranked her like third, I think, which is kind of embarrassing, frankly, for the media, but like fans far and away, she's the number one vote getter. I'm kind of glad she's in the game. Right? Because I think it's good for the league. But if we're talking about deserving based off of like the seasons that have been had, it's a no-brainer. She doesn't deserve to be on the All-Star team. And I just like, I think both things can be true. Cause like then what happens, right? Is like, oh, everyone's jealous. They hate her. And I like, that's the part I didn't say in the last segment. And I just will clarify now. That's the dumbest thing going right now. Players are not jealous of Caitlin Clark. Like, they are very happy that their paychecks are getting bigger, that there are more opportunities for them. They realize she's a part of it. They also want to kick her butt because she's really, really good. And that's what being a competitor is. Any, especially young player that comes up, it doesn't matter about their popularity. It's like, oh, you think you're good? Watch me. I remember talking to someone, like a player in the league, when Ryan Howard, who most people listening have never heard of, great young player for Atlanta, when she came out and like, you know, this player had quite a bit of fun shutting her down. Like, oh, you're the hotshot rookie. Let's have some fun. And sure, from a competitive standpoint, do they want to shut Clark down when they play? Yes. Do they wish her ill will? No. That's ridiculous. But like, kind of this fundamental question of like, what is an All-Star game? Is it supposed to be purely for recognizing who the best of the best is in a given season? Like we are sold that it is. Or is it a marketing exhibition? And is it okay that it's kind of a mix of both? And depending on your answer to that, I think will determine how you feel about Clark making, for instance, this year's All-Star game. Nevertheless, what happens with the Pro Bowl or the NBA All-Star game or Major League Baseball's All-Star game, coming up next week?
It's a mix of both, obviously. And I feel like to anyone that takes in sports knows that an All-Star game is primarily more of an entertainment thing. That's why fan voting is such an important aspect of it. And, you know, I want to take other sports out of the equation when discussing this, especially with Caitlin Clark. But if LeBron decided next year in year number 23 to miss the first 500 shots he took, did not have a single field goal, you think he wouldn't be in the All-Star game? He still would get voted in the All-Star game. It's a novelty thing. I think Caitlin Clark has to be in the All-Star game for the WNBA. One, just because of the people that she brings in. Of course, now that it's in Indiana this year, I think that's going to be an important thing. People are going to want to go out there and see her. I mean, the crowds that she's drawn in when they're on the road at opposing arenas is one thing just to put in perspective for WNBA.
Just real quick, in case people didn't hear this in Ben Pickman's appearance with us earlier in the hour, there are some estimates from like league people, business people, that every time Caitlin Clark visits an opposing arena, she's producing like $1 million in revenue. It's crazy the amount of money she is making for the league.
She can't not be in the All-Star game.
And think of what it's called, right? It's the All-Star game. And she is the biggest if we're defining stardom by popularity, she's the biggest star. She should be there.
It's a popularity contest. And I think that's how it is in sports. And that's kind of the way it should be. Because All-Star games are not serious. They don't have implications on anything in terms of what happens the rest of the season. I know baseball was the only sport for a long time that actually had implications, like who got to have home field in the World Series, which I think was the dumbest thing ever. Why are you leaving that fate up to something that's happening in an exhibition game that, quite frankly, doesn't matter? So I think Caitlin Clark absolutely has to be in there. And now it's good that you put into perspective for me, because I didn't know that she was not having the best season. I know that she struggled with her health a little bit, but from the numbers that you did give us, if she was not Caitlin Clark, she would not be in the All-Star game. That is something that is very obvious to someone that I guess would know basketball and understands how she compares to other players in the league right now. But she still has the potential to be a bona fide superstar player in this league. We've seen the flashes of it, and just the popularity alone, she has to be in the game for me.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like ultimately, I'm fine with her being in the game. What I don't understand is the anger for people, like the outrage. And sometimes I feel like the media like gets in front of the outrage. Like it's there if you want to search for it online. But does the media blow it up? And it's like it's almost inflammatory in a way. Like, oh, opposing players vote Caitlin Clark ninth. It's like, yeah, because they're not voting on popularity. They're voting based off of basketball results, and that's okay. Like it should be some balance of popularity and achievement. And in this particular year, based off of the first half of the season, Caitlin Clark's going to be there on popularity. There's also a great chance, because of how good she is, that by the end of the year, we will look back at her basketball reference page in 5 years and be like, yeah, no kidding, she was an all-star in 2025. Look how great she was when she finishes top 10 in MVP voting and has a great second half of the season. This is the other silly part about all-star games being in the middle of seasons. Oh, a 2025 all-star based off of half a season. But based off the first half of the season, players absolutely got it right. Based off who she is and what she means to the game and the amount of people that love her, fans got it right. And it's perfectly fine, in my opinion, to have a balance of those two things. When we get back here on the Team 980, we wrap things up with Real Things Real People Said into real microphones. It's Offman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980, where you're now watching me fight with my phone. Or a reminder when I get home. You got to love it when Siri just doesn't work for you, Ben. It's like, hey, you digital assistant, you.
Well, you got the Not Now Siri hour opener. I played that one today, actually, to open the show.
You did. And
so
now,
it's kind of funny.
And now Siri feels like she's fighting back. And it's like, no. I don't want to be reminded at a time. I need to be reminded when I get home to get the packages.
Siri must have heard the show today.
Yeah.
Even though we were not on AM radio for a period of time because of the storm.
Are we back on now?
I honestly have no idea. Okay. Nobody's told me anything, so I'd assume we're good.
Well, hopefully we're good. Hopefully, if you're listening on the radio now, you've been listening for a while. If not, you're on YouTube or you're on the app or you're on the web or you're listening on the radio, but you're on the FM HD2 signal that you've been able to enjoy most of the show, because there was a gigantic storm that rolled through earlier, which also, by the way, threw my plans. My plan, Ben, today was to bike in, which I do often on Nats game days. But also, I should have said this in What's Trending, the Nats have been postponed. They're going to play a doubleheader tomorrow where the weather is supposed to not be torrential downpour worth of thunderstorms. But I quickly audibled to drive here, and then and was like, okay, let's do that. And thank God I did, because oh my God, that storm was nuts.
Was there no like event parking in the lot because of the storm?
I think I got here before they shut down. I mean, they also postponed the game pretty early.
Yeah, so it happened at like 4.
I was here early enough that I did get into the garage downstairs. Like Anthony and I have discussed this. There is a secret lot that you can park in for free on non-game days around here.
Is it really a secret?
It can stay a secret to the general public, Ben. I'm happy to tell you where it is, and you sound like you already know, but we don't need to announce that to the world.
I'm aware.
Yeah, you can be aware. We don't need to announce that to the world, and we are theoretically on the radio right now. And if not, accessible in many ways, including by searching The Hoffman Show, your favorite podcast app, so you can listen on demand anytime, anywhere. Ding. The point is, I paid for a garage today so that my car was not outside. And also because there was a chance. I do think the sky, like, it's been done for a while. I think the sky got it out of its system. But there was a chance that it was going to be raining when we got out of here, too. And I didn't want to have to walk outside in that. So I was willing to pay a premium to be undercover.
Yeah, it makes sense. I got a long metro ride home as well. So I was kind of hoping it was going to rain while I was on the metro. Because by the time I get out of the city, and I get back into Maryland, I get the nice outside views, mostly of just the Beltway, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're like, oh, metro. Look at you poor suckers not moving while I move on the metro.
Pretty much. But mass I take transit, it all the way to Shady Grove at the end of the red line. Woo! So it does take quite a while to get back home.
That's a hike. I often will take the metro on days where the Nats play as well. But biking is it's a great. I love biking through the city, and especially now that they've added some of the protected bike lanes and the spots where I got to go. But that was not in the cards today. But I think it could be in the cards for tomorrow. So TBD. Weather, please cooperate. I tell you what is in charge or in the cards for tomorrow. I do believe we're gonna have a pretty cool guest, and that guest is actually tangentially related to today's edition of Real Things Real People Said into Real Microphones.
Real things.
We're not going to be sung this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Alrighty then. Last night at the Howard Theater, the Women's Game, the podcast for Men in Blazers, did a live show because tomorrow, there will be, man, dude, it is going to be chaos down here tomorrow because we got Nats doubleheader, and then the U.S. Women's National Team is playing Canada in the old Continental Classico across the street at Audi Field. So, your metro is a nice way to get out of this part of town tomorrow because...
Got to do it.
And the bike might have to happen too because the metro is going to be chaos. Everything... Chaos! That is what is going to be down here tomorrow. But they hosted Tara McKeown from the Washington Spirit. They had Canada's coach, Casey Stoney, on. And they also had Georgia Amor and tomorrow's guest on this show, Sonia Citron, who we talked about a little bit earlier in the show as well. Sony making her return to the Hoffman Show for the first time since the preseason. Very excited to have her on. But she and Georgia sat down with Sam Mewis and Becky Sauerbrunn and Raj. Roger Bennett, as part of the Women's Game live show. And pretty cool story from Georgia Amor, who is, of course, missing this season. Terrible torn ACL on the second day of training camp. And she actually got a text from one of the other young stars in D.C. After that happened.
And I know that you've developed really meaningful relationships with a number of the Spirit players. Trinity Rodman shot a video for you welcoming you to the city when you arrived. It was incredibly meaningful and beautiful to find out that Coy Bethune was one of the first to text you when you were injured. Can you put into words?
First of all, I love the crowd going, aww. Like just it's both a cute aww and a sad aww because she tore her ACL, but it's also a very nice thing that Croy did.
Can you put into words? Can you put into words what it's like to be part of this incredible community amongst the players here?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, first of all, Croy messaged me and she goes, hey, I'm Croy, I play for the Spirit. Like, I know we haven't met each other. And I was like, I know exactly who you are. You do not need to introduce yourself. But it's just amazing to get that support. It's like you said, the city as a whole, it's together. I mean, we went to the soccer game and we couldn't leave without taking a bunch of pictures, because it was just like the community getting behind all the sports, and it matters the most. I think coming from, I think, like colleges where that was huge, the environment, it makes championship teams. Like it's in the culture. Everyone uses the word culture. Not many people really uphold it, but Washington does, and it feels like that.
Love it. Love it. Also, knowing Croy a little bit, I'm not surprised that she did that. She's just a selfless person who would absolutely do that. And unfortunately, she's had her fair share of troubles with knee injuries over the years. But excited to talk to Sonia Citron tomorrow on the show. We'll see what else pops up. Thanks again, Ben Strober, being in with me today. A couple more days. By the way, I can report Haney's loving Paris. So we'll get a full report from him next week. That's our show for today. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.